Chapter 8 And Is With Sleep. Hashirama wanders through empty, echoing halls, a ghost set adrift in the sunlight, and wonders how it came to this. His hand traces idly along the walls, fingers spread, and he thinks of his little brother, of Madara's, thinks of peace, and peace bought with blood and sacrifice, and what it takes to make such things worthwhile. He feels hollowed out, just as echoing as the hallways, with an edge of bitter grief that stems from the bewildered anger in Madara's eyes. Madara is the type to do anything for family. Once upon a time, Hashirama had thought himself the same, because losing his little brothers was a worse pain than any physical wound could ever be. He'd stood before too many graves, though, to think that his loss was the most important, the deepest torn. Too many small graves, children killed for little reason and with no thought to the future. And maybe, at one point, he'd been so busy seeing everyone else's grief that he had lost sight of just what he did lose. He loves Tobirama, loves him deeply, fully, because they are blood and there are some things you just can't escape, but ever since they were children, there's been a faint thread of something that takes away from that. Maybe it's that, as a child, he never saw Tobirama mourn. With the distance of years, Hashirama looks back on it now and feels a trickle of shame, because he'd never given Tobirama any place to mourn. When Kawarama died, he had raged and Tobirama had comforted him, eased the fire of his anger into embers of determination. He'd comforted Itama as well, soothed him through nightmares, and made sure to include him in training when he otherwise would have gone off on his own. And then, when Itama had died, well, Hashirama had had Madara, a new friend who shared all of his beliefs, and Tobirama had no one, not even Toka, because for all their closeness, Tobirama wouldn't have gone to her to grieve. Hashirama can see that now. She wasn't his immediate family, wasn't the one to lose a brother, so Tobirama would have spared her his pain. Had Hashirama been there, they could have mourned together. But Hashirama was caught up in his new friend, and his grief faded quickly. He'd not thought to wonder, in the midst of it, just how his solemn, stoic little brother was faring. Because Tobirama was always fine, always grounded. He's always been steady, even when his thoughts fly. And where other geniuses, Hashirama knows, wander around with their heads in the clouds, Tobirama never has. Without Tobirama to take care of the details he overlooks, Hashirama is well aware that he would not be half the clan head he is, and that's the way it's always been between them. Hashirama forges ahead with enthusiasm and optimism, and Tobirama follows along behind, grumbling and snapping and calling him an idiot, but fixing things, taking care of all the small things that are necessary, tedious, and thankless. Because if Hashirama wants to succeed, someone is going to have to do them. And yet, Tobirama walked out of the compound without armor or weapons. He walked straight to the Uchiha, prepared to die to make Hashirama's dream even a little more possible. And it's only by chance that he didn't. Somehow, that hurts even more than thinking him dead. All their lives, Hashirama has known that Tobirama has a streak of self-sacrifice in him that is wider and deeper than most. He's always the one to cover their retreats, to push himself beyond the boundaries of sense in battle, just so that one more Senju will make it home. He's a warrior who has never been anything else, but Hashirama wonders. If they didn't live in this cruel world, if their fate was softer, gentler, just who would his little brother be? Always before, Hashirama has thought soldier and seen no other possibilities, but What if there are? Because Tobirama healed Izuna, from what he can gather, and Hashirama remembers more than once going to Tobirama after a bout of training gone wrong. He'd throw himself at Tobirama with tears in his eyes, complaining of the pain, and Tobirama would roll his eyes and tell him to compose himself and act with dignity, and then heal him anyway, face furrowed in concentration as his hands glowed green. Maybe, in a perfect world, Tobirama would be a healer. Or maybe he'd be a scholar. Because if Hashirama knows anything, it's that his brother loves books, with a fervor most reserved for worship. Maybe a scientist, creating jutsus not to deal death, but to help, to build. Heaven knows Hashirama wouldn't have made it so far with his Mokuton without Tobirama's interest in his limits, his theories on how to go even further. Theirs isn't a perfect world, though. Not by any measure of the term. Tobirama is a soldier, a shinobi, because he never had a choice in the matter. There were never any other options for them. No chances for a different life. Hashirama has always regretted it, because he's the type to look back and mourn untrodden paths. Tobirama never has, because he looks at the world as it is, the world around them, and simply accepts that any change will have to come from his own two hands. With a soft sigh, Hashirama pauses in front of his brother's bedroom, hand hovering over the latch. Tobirama likes his privacy, and whenever Hashirama comes in to bother him, there's huffing, pointed reminders not to cling. He's never chased out, though. And right now, with the rest of the house echoingly empty, Hashirama needs this little bit of comfort. He slides the door open and steps in, shutting it behind him. The room is full of afternoon light, obsessively neat the way it always is. Tobirama's futon is neatly folded and set aside, and on top of it, Hashirama's breath feels clogged in his chest as he picks up the hapuri face guard and sinks down to his knees on the floor. The metal is worn, dented here and there where it saved Tobirama's life, or saved him pain. But the senju crest is still brightly polished, undamaged. A stray silver hair clings to one corner, and Hashirama smooths his thumb over it, aching somewhere deep inside. He misses his brother. Misses those exasperated sighs, the faint smiles, the way Tobirama will always find him to spar, just when Hashirama most needs a break from paperwork. And maybe it's not just because he's with the Uchiha right now. Maybe, now that he looks back on it, Hashirama has been missing his brother for a long time. It's his own doing, of course. He allows Tobirama close, but never too close. Always a little guilty, he supposes, now that he's thinking on it. Guilty because Hashirama doesn't understand. Because he wished several times, after arguments, after fights, that Madara truly was his brother and Tobirama wasn't. All children think such things. Hashirama knows. It's part of being young. Of not cherishing what you've always taken for granted. He wonders now if Tobirama ever had thoughts like those, and doubts it. Tobirama was never a child, even when he was young. At 6, at 9, at 13, he was a shinobi first and foremost, and everything else fell by the wayside. And because hindsight is always clearer, because he sees now what he never could as a boy, Hashirama knows that Tobirama never wished ineffectually, wistfully, for things that weren't. He accepted what was, moved on, and didn't look back. He's still that way. And Hashirama feels that guilt again, for childish thoughts, for never apologizing when he had them, for overlooking Tobirama time and again in all the ways that truly mattered. Hashirama traces his fingers over polished but battered metal, and thinks of what might have happened if he hadn't let his temper get the better of him that day in his office. If Izuna had died, Madara would be their enemy. And what would Hashirama do to win Madara back? To win back the peace they always dreamed of? He can't think of much that he wouldn't do, and it unnerves him. Because if Izuna had died, if Tobirama had killed him, there would be no way Madara would ever forgive Tobirama for landing that blow. And yet, Hashirama thinks he might still take Madara in, were there a chance. He'd accept Madara, knowing the threat he posed Tobirama, and that makes him a terrible brother, doesn't it? To hold friendship and a shared dream above his brother's safety, to value peace more than family. Their whole world has suffered with these constant wars. There is no one who has not lost someone, no one who has not grieved for a loved one at least once. And to halt the downward spiral, to save this bloody, beautiful, terrible world, Hashirama thinks that he would do anything. He would turn on anyone who proved themselves a threat, ally himself with anyone who could help. Hashirama values Madara greatly, yes, but he values peace more. He wants to live in a world where death is not a looming certainty. He wants whatever children he has to be free, to actually be children, and not little soldiers destined for two small coffins. Does that make him a terrible person? Carefully, Hashirama sets the face guard back where it was and rises to his feet, looking around the small room. Tobirama's old swords hang on the wall. Even the broken one that Hashirama remembers nearly cost Tobirama his life in battle. They're worn as well, but carefully maintained. And Hashirama can't fight a small smile as he gently touches one lacquered sheath. It's so very like his little brother to honor the swords that served him, though he'll never show such sentiment in company. The desk is neat and orderly when Hashirama settles into the chair before it. Everything is at right angles, carefully positioned, and Hashirama doesn't touch anything, knowing that he will never be able to return it to the precise arrangement Tobirama prefers. Everything here is for work, but again, there's a touch of sentiment set off to the side. Hashirama would think it an afterthought, except that the wood of the small frame is worn smooth from frequent handling. It's a sketch, small and carefully done, and Hashirama recognizes his brother's hand, more used to the exact lines of seals than the curves of human faces. But this, too, is done with love and care, and Hashirama can't help but pick up the frame, smoothing his fingers over the edge of the paper within. Kawarama and Itama, heads bent together over a book, smiles on their faces. And Hashirama smiles at the familiar scene. He's represented too, fast asleep on the far side of the table. And he has to laugh a little, because he remembers this moment. Kawarama had just mastered his chakra enough to manage a jutsu, and they were looking for one he thought was suitably cool. Hashirama had quickly succumbed to tiredness, having been up too early practicing, and passed out. Tobirama had found them a few hours later when he returned from his own training, and he'd smacked Hashirama over the head with a scroll for drooling on one of his favorite books. But then he'd huffed and sighed and helped them look, and almost managed to hide his smile. Hashirama hadn't realized that Tobirama remembered as well. And in remembering that, another memory slips into place. Kawarama's grave, freshly filled, his own cheek aching from his father's punch, the taste of anger like copper on his tongue, tangled up with grief and bitterness and the scent of freshly dug earth as it was shoveled into the graves. He'd said words that his father would have beaten him for, but there had been a small, narrow back before him. Tobirama had stepped between him and their father, arms outstretched, and made the only excuse their father would accept. And after seeing that, Tobirama, Itama, I will not stand by and watch the two of you die a hollow death. He thought that then, thought that and then held it dear, right close to his heart. But when did he let it go? When did his peace become something bigger than lost little brothers and grief of a fresh grave? When did it change from two boys tired of war, wanting to change the very meaning of being a shinobi, into the desperate desire for Madara to walk the same path? Hashirama's peace isn't for Madara. It isn't even for the Senju as a whole. It's for the 10-year-old boy who stepped in front of their father to protect Hashirama from his own words, who stood dry-eyed before the casket but still mourned when he was alone. Kawarama and Itama were the catalysts, but Tobirama is the reason. Tobirama, as sharp-eyed and beautiful as a sword, with a mind like no other and a heart he so easily wounds to keep everyone safe, who always puts others before himself, who never stumbles, never looks back. Tobirama, his little brother, too wise, too kind, forever ready to protect. And Hashirama sees it now, where he might not have before. Everything Tobirama does is to protect those he loves. And even if he goes about it in a different way than Hashirama, even if he makes weapons instead of healing, or steps forward into the fight instead of holding back, he's never meant it the way their father did. Tobirama fights to save, while Butsuma fought to avenge. And the difference between them couldn't be greater. Hashirama? There's a light knock on the door, and when Hashirama makes a sound of assent, it slides open. Mito steps through, and Hashirama gives her a tired smile, setting Tobirama's sketch aside and reaching out. She smiles back, catching his hands in her own and allowing him to draw her close. A kiss is pressed to his forehead, gentle and warm, and Hashirama pulls her down onto his lap with a weary sigh, burying his face in the violet silk of her kimono.
You've stopped being an idiot, then?
Mito asks with faint amusement, smoothing her hands over his hair. Hashirama adores his wife. He truly does. With a slightly choked laugh, he nods, looking up to meet dark eyes that are full of kindness.
I have, he agrees. How did you know I lost my way?
Mito just shakes her head.
Sometimes you look at your brother, or at me, and sometimes you look through us, she says simply. It's been happening more often than not of late. I'm glad you've dragged your eyes back down to earth, husband.
Swallowing, Hashirama looks away. He hadn't realized he was so bad.
So am I,
he admits quietly. Delicate hands turn his face back towards his wife. And Mito smiles at him.
We love you anyway,
she says warmly, as good as ever at reading just what he doesn't say.
No matter how much of an idiot you are.
Hashirama smiles back, because he can't do anything else, and brushes a thumb over the diamond-shaped seal on her forehead. Mito only fights when battles push too close to the compound, but she's a terrifying kunoichi, the best in her clan, and Hashirama never lets himself forget it. Her support all these years has kept him steady. Between her and Tobirama, he's never faltered. Maybe, he thinks a little wryly, it would have been better if he had. There's too much looking forward, too much focus on what isn't, and Hashirama needed something to jar him back to the present. He's unspeakably glad it didn't take his little brother's murder, given how caught up he was in his dreams. He'll still pursue peace, of course. He'll still do everything in his power to build the village he and Madara dreamed of. But this time, Instead of forging ahead on his own, he'll drag his brother right along with him. With Tobirama at his side, with Mito, perhaps even with Madara, it will be a better peace, he's sure. Not the coldness and unforgiving constraints of peace for the greater good, but warm, gentle, a family's peace, rather than a world's. Maybe someday the rest of the shinobi world will adopt it as well. But that isn't why Hashirama wants it. His first dream of peace was for his brother's sakes. And this time, Hashirama won't let himself forget. Tobirama sits at a table across from the man who was once his greatest enemy. The bright sounds of life echoing from beyond the garden's walls, and wonders how it came to this. He's no fool. The progression of past events is simple to trace, but unexpected. From death to peace is several long steps. Tobirama had never thought they would take. Not the Senju, not the Uchiha, and yet, here they are regardless. Well? Madara demands, as impatient as ever, and waves the hand at the scrolls in front of Tobirama. Their lunch dishes have been cleared away to make room for business, and Tobirama will admit that he is far more comfortable with the latter than the former. Madara as an enemy, even one on the verge of becoming an ally, is something he can understand. Madara the man, who looks at him with dark, sharp eyes, an almost terrifying sort of passion burning inside him, is someone Tobirama can't comprehend. It's a little startling. But suddenly, Tobirama can't think of a time when he's ever looked Madara in the eyes before just a handful of days ago. The Sharingan's power is doubtless part of the reason. But it's also the fact that there's never been an opportunity. Madara is Hashirama's opponent, while Izuna is Tobirama's. And Tobirama can't think of a time when they ever traded off. There's never been a moment of pause between them. Never so much as a sideways glance. Tobirama knows what Madara looks like, but... well, it's surprising to suddenly know the way his brows crease when he's confused, or the way one corner of his mouth tugs up when he's fighting a smile. Strange to see the mostly former enemy arch a brow at him when he picks the green onions from his miso, and snort when Tobirama glares at him for it. Seeing Madara's own glare sharpening, Tobirama restrains a roll of his eyes and sets the papers aside. They're decent, he allows. The clan will never agree to limit their numbers, however, nor will our smiths decrease the amount of weaponry they create. We are shinobi, Madara. If you can't remember that... I can remember it just fine, Madara huffs, waving his words away in annoyance. Those were proposed by the elders, and I knew you'd reject them. But the rest is acceptable? Tobirama offers him a wry shadow of a smile. I have no doubt it will take weeks of arguing and many small changes before the majority are happy with them, he says. But yes, on the whole, I have seen far worse terms. And technically, the Uchiha do come to these talks from a position of power. The Senju will protest, but they will agree to most of it. Madara nods, looking satisfied. That's all I need. Most of the clan are tired of bloodshed. Even if we have to compromise, they won't argue. Quick fingers re-roll the scrolls, then set them aside. Thank you. Inclining his head, Tobirama lifts his eyes to catch that dark gaze again. And what did my brother have to say? He asks mildly. I assume you informed him I was still alive? Freezing, Madara blinks at him in surprise. This time, Tobirama really does roll his eyes. I'm hardly an idiot, he says, a touch waspishly. If Toka came, she read the letter, and I have no doubt she confronted my brother before she departed. She's hardly the type to let such a thing go, even if it's not her business. And if she did that, Hashirama knows my whereabouts. He wouldn't have let things go this long without contacting you somehow.
We met, Marara confirms grudgingly, after a long moment of silence.
We talked, and I threw a rock at his head.
A true friendship indeed.
Tobirama arches a brow at him.
Well?
Marara gives him a scowl, though his heart isn't in it. And he told me you have the ability to bring back the dead, he says, which is one of the most subtle changes of subject Tobirama has ever heard him manage. Not, granted, that that means much.
You tested it out on a cat.
Tobirama goes stiff, remembering that argument very clearly. He drops his gaze to hide the aggravation that sparks through him, at Hashirama more than Madara, because it's been one of the very many things they don't talk about in their relationship. For years now, Hashirama has avoided the matter, and Tobirama has let him. He understands. Death is an uncomfortable subject.
Don't worry, he says shortly. I have no intention of using that jutsu except as a last resort.
He doesn't need to look up to feel Madara's eyes on him. The Uchiha hums softly in acknowledgement, and then says, "So you murdered someone's pet to try out a jutsu you don't even intend to use?" Indignation sparks, sharp and stinging, and Tobirama jerks his head up.
"No,"
he bites out coldly. "I used the body of a rabbit kept for meat, and recalled the soul of my cat to see if it would work. And once I was sure it did, I released her back into the afterlife." But there's no judgment on Madara's face when he looks. No horror the way there was on Hashirama's face. Then again, Tobirama supposes Madara, of all people, would be well able to understand desperate measures and last resorts, held in reserve just in case all hope is lost. In fact, Madara seems almost satisfied.
"I thought so," he says after a moment. "It was meant to be a weapon?"
Tobirama looks away again. "The resurrected bodies are able to regenerate endlessly and can survive as long as the soul remains bound. They can be controlled as well, so that even former enemies can become one's soldiers." There's a soft clink as Madara sets his cup aside.
"Interesting," he says, and the tone is suspiciously mild.
"But that actually didn't answer my question." Tobirama's breath catches slightly, no matter how he tries to keep his icy composure. There's a faint shift, and Madara leans forward, pouring them both more tea. Eyes solely on his task, he adds, "How old were you, Senju, when you thought that up?"
Hashirama has never asked him this.
Hashirama has never wanted to know.
"I would hardly reveal the details of one of my weapons," he says, and is thankful when it comes out cool as he had intended, rather than shaken.
That gets him another raised eyebrow.
"I've noticed how you talk about your creations,"
Madara informs him, a bit sharply. "You're free with their abilities, because the things you've invented don't have weaknesses, not exploitable ones, and you're happy to share their strengths. So I'll ask you again, Tobirama, was it meant to be a weapon?"
Tobirama meets his eyes without wavering, and stubbornly refuses to answer.
"I thought as much," Madara says, seeming to take it as a response regardless. "If I had the ability to bring my brothers back from the dead, I would do so in a heartbeat." For a moment, he can't decide whether to be furious or annoyed that Madara can so clearly see everything Tobirama doesn't want him to. He wavers, but eventually annoyance wins out, and Tobirama sighs, aggrieved, as he picks up his cup again.
"It's not that simple," he admits with irritation. "There has to be a living sacrifice to bind the soul to, as well as DNA of the person you're resurrecting. And even then, it's a half-life at best. Those called back are good as weapons, but I would not wish a prolonged existence in such a state on anyone.
Madara appears to consider the implications, and then snorts.
Grave robbing puts a large damper on things.
Yes, he agrees. How old were you?
13.
The word is a surrender, breathed out on a sigh. He's never told anyone before, but Madara is perceptive, even more than Hashirama. Then again, Hashirama was blinded by his own grief, by the misunderstandings between them. Tobirama is well aware that Hashirama thinks he deals in weapons alone when he creates jutsus. He doesn't see, but that's fine, because Tobirama has never explained it either.
Itama's death was...
He stumbles over inadequate words and meaningless phrases, cursing himself for his inability to speak. But Madara holds up a hand to halt him before he can drag himself deeper into the mire. The Uchiha doesn't say anything, simply nods, and it's his turn to look away.
A shame, he offers after a moment, and his half-smile is grimly sad. It makes Tobirama remember that Madara once had 4 brothers instead of just 1.
If we could truly resurrect the dead, it would solve a lot of problems.
And create more, Tobirama counters.
But his heart isn't in the argument. He, more than anyone, is aware of that particular jutsu's drawbacks. All the ways it poses a pitfall to the grieving, the bereft. It's one of the reasons he's shared it with no one. Had it worked, perhaps he would have spread it. As it is, only Hashirama and now Madara know. Madara doesn't contradict him, which is a miracle in and of itself. He simply inclines his head and says,
"Both clans are going to want guarantees."
The sudden shift in subjects makes Tobirama frown at him, annoyed.
"Obviously. I assume you have a plan if you're bringing it up."
"Izuna and I discussed it," he confirms. He suggested
a political marriage, Tobirama offers, amused at the thought, and arches a brow at the man. If you're planning to be the one to inform Toka, I would do it from the far side of a very deep canyon. Perhaps dig a grave beforehand as well.
Madara laughs, surprised, and shakes his head. Izuna is not quite that stupid. Yet. He grimaces. We thought a trade, for the first 3 months. It would have to be some of the most important clan members, because of the matter's gravity, and then we could meet to renegotiate terms after that. Of all the many things Tobirama had braced himself for, that wasn't the one he was expecting. It takes effort not to let his brow hit his hairline. You intend to send Izuna to the Senju compound for 3 months? Madara scowls at him, aggravation clear in his face. Of course not, he spits. But Hikaku has volunteered, and he's second in line after Izuna to inherit, as well as one of our strongest, and with enough leverage on our side. Tobirama doesn't need to be a genius to see where Madara's intentions lie.
You want me to stay, he concludes. Surely you're aware that hostages are usually returned after the peace negotiations?
And you will be, Madara retorts. After 3 months, when we renegotiate, and you can attend the signing of the treaty when the time comes, so you can at least see your brother again before the time begins. Would you agree, or should I find a different solution? It is a good idea, no matter how reluctant Tobirama is to admit it. Hikaku's level head will serve him better among the Senju than Izuna's sharp-tongued slyness would. At the very least, the Senju won't be forced to murder him in self-defense by the end of the first day, as they would with Izuna. Rubbing the bridge of his nose to ease the beginning of what he can already tell will be a spectacular headache, Tobirama inclines his head in a slow nod.
I would agree, he finally says, and then adds, before Madara can look too eager, on the condition that you be the one to inform my cousin. How about Izuna? Madara bargains craftily. It is, Tobirama will allow, a neat solution. Acceptable, he agrees. Toko won't kill someone she's interested in for telling her something she doesn't care to hear. He hopes. Though he plans to make very certain he's somewhere she can't find him for at least 12 hours after she's informed. She might know him, but he knows her just as well. Looking satisfied, Madara settles back, and then says, Good. Now, I thought it would be best to inform you so you don't disrupt the peace talks, but I'm definitely going to break Hashirama's damn nose the next time I see him, because he's a bastard who doesn't deserve to be an older brother, and if you argue, I'm going to dunk you in the koi pond. Tobirama takes back every nice word he's ever thought. Madara is an idiot, and he will fully deserve it when Tobirama hurls a cup of scalding tea in his face.